This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. It's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Ring the bell. go ahead. Yeah. You know, ring the bell. I hear the train coming and all that.
That's the best I got.
We actually still not hitting like we should. I mean, It was outstanding pitching. We gave up, what, 5 runs the first game, 1 the second, and 0 the third. That's pretty good. And, you know, we're timely hitting. And all the games we lost against Ole Miss, a hit here or a hit there turns the tables on those games. Even the game, was it Campbell lost to Ole Miss his one game, right?
Correct.
Okay. And he had a diving.
Go ahead.
Had a diving play in the outfield. If Franklin makes that play, he probably wins that game. I mean, it was just a well placed ball. And I would like to see Arkansas start banging the ball around. You know, you got some guys still not hitting. It's just a hit here, hit there, and we did get some timely hitting. But I'm thankful we got through the regional. And how many SEC teams are matched up against each other? Do you know right offhand?
Well, at this point in time, it's just Arkansas and Ole Miss because Georgia lost their regional and LSU advanced, so they don't have to face them. And then there's still some other teams that are trying to get it figured out. But as of right now, that's the only one for certain is going to be have Arkansas and Ole Miss.
Hey, LSU's going to play Florida State. So
correct.
So we're the lucky ones.
Mm-hmm. If you want to put it that way, yes, Danny.
Yeah. You know what? Arkansas, all they got to do is just keep what they've been doing. And for some guys, Casey Martin to bust out and a few others to really just start whacking the ball, and we'll be just fine. I'm with you, John. I can't stand the thought of Ole Miss winning that regional at Fayetteville. I mean, that's un-American. That just can't happen. I have a question before I get off here, guys.
Okay,
Arkansas, do you know how many players Arkansas offers, like, in football? How many scholarship offers they make? How many they got out there?
I mean, I don't know an exact number for it, but we can do some research on it for you, Danny.
Well, it's huge, right? It's a bunch.
Right.
Okay, so what if they offer, I know they offer a bunch of 3-stars, a bunch of 4-stars, and probably a few 5-stars. What if, like, it's first come, first serve? What if everybody that's a 3-star accepts the scholarship and you don't have any left for your high-profile players that you want? How do they handle that? And thanks for taking my call, guys, and you have a good day.
I appreciate the phone call, Danny. Now, when you're, I guess I should tell me his question again.
I'm not, is he saying if you over make more offers than you've got room for? Is that what he's asking?
Yeah, I guess so.
You take the best players.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's gray shirt, walk on, prefer to go somewhere else. You figure that out.
Yeah, because you'll know, I mean, 11.7 scholarships, once again, is all you have in baseball. So no one really gets a full ride as it is.
Like half scholarships, like the most.
Yeah. So I guess the half scholarships would be reserved for your best players that you want the most, too. So
And then also some of these guys can qualify for, you know, academically, some have, you know, like the Arkansas scholarship lottery has added more opportunity for Arkansas to spread things around. The more you have out there for grants and scholarships and stuff like that for your players to get, the better off your baseball program is.
Yeah.
And some states have a better situation than others just because of state lotteries and governor's scholarships and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
In baseball.
Because it's, to me, baseball is such a complicated thing because we don't cover baseball recruiting, let's be honest, that we do to the same level of football and basketball.
Probably should, but we don't.
Right. And it's such a tough thing, and I can't imagine the toughness that Dave Van Horn and so many other coaches have, of course, voiced their displeasure about is not only the scholarship limitations, but you're also having to recruit against the MLB. you're having you have the rule in place where kids can go straight to the draft out of high school if they wanted to. So you're also, you know, how do you do it? Do you just go all in on these big time recruits, these number one players in the country, if you know you feel like you could lose them to the draft, and then you didn't go all in on some other players that it could worked out? I don't know, but here's what I do know is that whatever Dave Van Horn has been doing specifically, it has been working out. And to go back to a point also too that Eddie and Clarksville made, as well as Danny, is Isaiah Campbell coming back this year has been the biggest part of the success of this team. I mean, anytime you say your ace pitcher, yeah, of course, duh, it is going to be a big deal. But if Isaiah Campbell didn't return this year, or Isaiah Campbell isn't what Isaiah Campbell is right now, imagine where this team would be. Imagine what they would be doing right now if it wasn't for Isaiah Campbell.
May not be hosting a regional, that's for sure.
Yeah, because, and it's not to say that there's not other capable pitchers, but if you look down the line,
everybody up one. If Wicklander became your number one.
You want a true freshman being your number one?
Whew. And then you'd have Connor Nolan, and then some, you know, add somebody else to that list.
No. I mean, you don't want to go that route. And so having Isaiah Campbell, and I think that rightfully so, he was the MVP of this regional. I mean, even though he only played in one game, it was the most pivotal game, that game two, and what he was able to do.
Pretty good for a guy that couldn't make the All-SEC team.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that was actually on Saturday. I was in the hog pen, and that was like something that kept getting thrown around more than anything. I heard that comment get mentioned by the people around me more than anything. After every inning where he's just throwing smoke, getting guys out of there, continuing on to perform at a high level, every single time afterwards, it's like, not bad for a guy not making All-SEC. I mean, it's just... Is that a motivating factor for him? Do you think he's got a chip on his shoulder from that?
I think this team's got a chip on their shoulder about that.
Rightfully so. I still don't understand how they were looking at it and what they were even thinking about in this whole deal. I don't understand it at all. But there's no doubt that their success is based and hinged on Isaiah Campbell. And if he can put together these performances throughout the rest of postseason play, I'm not going to guarantee that Arkansas is going to win or go even back to the College World Series finals. I'd be hard-pressed to think that Arkansas is not back in the College World Series. If they can get another great performance on him from him this upcoming Friday against Ole Miss, because he was the one pitcher that did beat Ole Miss, was Isaiah Campbell. If he's able to do that this year, that'll be a great start. But you got to also get the help from the other guys, too.
You say Friday. I guess it could be Saturday.
Saturday.
We'll know tomorrow. That's when the NCAA, half of the Super Regionals will start Friday. The other half will start on Saturday. And that's the staggering for television coverage. It's their preference. I mean, other than just personal schedule, I mean, for this team, not just for what's good for us. Is there a preference that you think helps this team? Because you stay a little more in your rhythm. And you can make a case that Friday would be a better start date for Arkansas because you keep that schedule, you keep that rhythm of not having that extra day of rest. You say, how do you get extra rest at this point? Well, there is a rhythm to all this and how they go about preparing for a start with bullpens for all these guys. And if you stayed on a Friday schedule, I think it keeps everything on schedule.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's all about routines. And if you can stay in the routine that you're in, it's going to be beneficial. And again, I don't know how they're doing with the scheduling, but I would just assume using logic that they would have them on the Friday because Arkansas and Ole Miss both have won early. They're not having to extend a game into Monday. I'm assuming that's what it is.
You used the word logic in NCAA.
I know. Hopefully can remain hopeful at some point in time. They will use logic and common sense. But just going off, I feel like that would make the most sense is that they'd get the teams who got out of their regional the earliest, give them the earlier time to start.
Again, you're applying common sense.
I know. But I'm with you, though. As far as routines go, if Arkansas can get that Friday series, I mean, that's... We talked about routines and how important they are, and to have that and to have the same feel of it, to have the same amount of rest that you would between series like you had in the regular season just makes the most sense.
I mean, I'd rather them start on Saturday, but...
Rather them start on Saturday?
Yeah, just, you know.
Why is that?
Just gives us another day around here, you know.
Of what?
Of getting ready.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot to do. A lot of buttons to push. A lot of logs to fill.
Hmm. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. I see what you're saying. I thought you were saying you wanted them to start on Saturday. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'd, you know,
you want it to end on Saturday, don't you?
Well, if you've won two, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You'd want them to go out of there at Sound Saturday. Anyway, you have a whole Sunday to worry about it.
You got a point there.
Yeah.
If you could draw it up, yeah, you'd take a Saturday win and move on, and we'll get ready for Omaha.
I don't care how it happens. Just win it. Yeah. I don't care if it's Saturday.
Really,
I
mean, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. I guess the point is, though,
it could be a Saturday. Not guaranteed to be a Friday start.
Right. So
you got a 50-50 shot, perhaps.
Yeah, 50-50 at best. So, but we'll continue to discuss that because I think that's a fascinating thing. It's just about the timing of everything. And I'd be curious to know if Dave Van Horn has a preference, too. But guess we'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Put a simple question out for a poll question to hit that line AR on Facebook and on Twitter. Of just who was your MVP over the weekend for the Arkansas Razorbacks? Because, and the reason I made it kind of specific is because I feel like there are a few players that you could really choose from and who was the best performance. But I feel like Isaiah Campbell has to be the number one guy, right? I know by the reality, the actual regional MVP was Isaiah Campbell. But just from the performances that you saw, Tommy, would you say that he was the MVP of the series, even though he only pitched one game?
I mean, that's the difficult thing with pitchers. Pitchers get one chance, but if it was anyone more brilliant in their pitching performance, their opportunity than Isaiah Campbell, a run on four hits in eight innings, struck out eight, only walked one. I mean, I thought Arkansas's starting pitching was really solid over the entire weekend, starting with Connor Nolan. Two runs on two hits and five and a third. Struck out two. You look at last night to Patrick Wicklander. Went five innings, but gave up no runs on three hits. Struck out seven last night while only walking one. So Arkansas starting pitching, let's see, 1-0-2 walks out of the starting pitching this weekend. Two. And then add up the strikeouts, 7 and 6 is 13. Connor, it's great doing math here. 14 strikeouts? 14 strikeouts to two walks? For the starting pitching?
It's a good ratio.
Now, Isaiah Campbell was chief amongst that, and he went the eight innings. Thanks for bearing with me while we did the math on the year. But I don't know how you don't give it to Isaiah Campbell, honestly.
Yeah.
There wasn't someone at the plate that was so overpowering. Someone that, well, he had two home runs, and he drove in seven. He had seven RBIs in three games. Something, you know, there wasn't anyone that had, like, one of those performances at the plate.
Yeah, because the only guy I could really look at as far as being at the plate was probably Trevor Ezell. I mean, he had a great weekend from the plate. Of course, he only went 1-4 against TCU last night. But in the other games, like Central Connecticut, he went 3-5. And then in TCU, he went 4-5 on Saturday. So, yeah, if you're going to give it to some sort of offensive player, it might be Trevor Ezell and the performance that he turned in.
I think Campbell's the right pick.
But, yeah, I'm with you. Because it was incredible what he was able to do. But the thing that you brought up, Tommy, there, is talking about the strikeouts and the walks, that was actually something that the TCU coach was bringing up for how Arkansas was just, man, they throw strikes. They throw strikes at you, and you still can't do anything about it, and that's what makes them built to not only make a run back to Omaha, but maybe get back to the College World Series Finals, is because they have an entire pitching staff that can throw strikes at you. They don't walk you very often. And, you know, a lot of times in college baseball, if you don't have a pitching staff that's capable of that, I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than you getting down either zero with no outs and you walk the first two batters. I mean, it's just a frustrating thing, and it puts you behind, but that's not the type of mentality, and that's not the type of pitching strategy that Arkansas goes for. They throw strikes at you, and it's been effective. So, you know, these are the types of things that you're wanting to see when it comes to postseason, because there's no doubt that having your starting pitchers in line, performing at the way that they're performing, or at least that they did over the weekend in the regional, and that's going to be the difference for you. And I don't see there's any reason why Arkansas doesn't win game one against Ole Miss, just because you know you're going to have Isaiah Campbell on the bump.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you know what he's capable of, and you know that he's got that talent. I mean, the only game he's lost this year was to Vanderbilt.
11-1, right?
Yeah, 11-1, not bad. And if he turns anything like he did over the weekend, I mean, I think it's going to not only be great for him, but exciting for Razorback fans to watch, too.
Blaine Knight or Isaiah Campbell?
I'm still going Blaine Knight right now.
It's
tough.
Yeah.
It's not an easy just for sure.
I understand.
But
I mean, no one expected anyone to be like Blaine Knight this year, and he's been like Blaine Knight this year.
Yeah.
Consistent, like just lock it down Friday night guy. I think he's maybe been more consistent than Blaine Knight a year ago. If that's even possible. I'm not even sure that's possible.
Yeah.
But
his Blaine Knight didn't lose a game, but that's really the only difference because statistically, Isaiah Campbell's got better numbers.
And the only one he lost was, as you mentioned, Vanderbilt. They have a good year?
I think they were okay. They're a decent team. I think they're just, you know, one of the best teams in the country and probably going to be in the College World Series final, but no big deal.
Maybe the best team in the country when you look at how UCLA has stumbled a little bit. They got to win today to get advanced to next weekend.
Yeah, over Loyola Marymount. Yeah. So, you know, you wouldn't expect that out of them.
I thought they were a basketball school. both of them, actually.
That's it. I guess now they're making it to where they're a baseball school, too. And it'll make some noise if they were able to beat UCLA today and advance into the Super Regional. But yeah, what it comes down to is it comes down to the pitching performances. And you think about how lucky Arkansas has been, and maybe not lucky because, again, the answer is always just Dave Van Horn, but to have back-to-back seasons with ace pitchers like Blaine Knight and Isaiah Campbell. I mean, to me, that's the number one reason. There's other things too, but the number one reason why Arkansas has had national seeds the past 2 years. It's the number one reason why Arkansas has been able to be a top eight seed in both years. And that's the number one reason why Arkansas is a team that's capable of making it back to the College World Series and even playing for a championship because of those two individuals and how important it is to have lockdown, shut it down ace pitchers in any sport, in any league in baseball, but especially in college baseball. That's the difference on this team. You got good players. You got other great players. You got other pitchers that have performed well. You got some guys that can hit. You got some guys that can hit the long ball. We know all that. But this team would not be anywhere close to what they are right now without the performances of Isaiah Campbell this year. And he has not disappointed, especially in the postseason thus far. So,
starting pitching as a whole better this year? How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel going into a three-game series for a shot at a College World Series? And then perhaps beyond that to the College World Series, how do you feel about your three starters?
I mean, stack them up. Yeah, Knight, Casey Murphy, and Isaiah Campbell last year, and then rotation this year has been Campbell, Wicklander, and Nolan.
I'd have to go last year just if I'm going off of that, just because your guy this year, which I know he's a completely different animal this year than he was last year, but your ace this year was your third-day starter last year, and he was still pretty good.
I think you can't make a point or you can't decide until after the postseason.
You see it all?
Nolan's been really good as a freshman these last few games, and then he finally got some run support. Not a lot, but he finally got some. So I think you have to wait. It's a wait-and-see game at this point.
It's against Central Connecticut State, but I hear what you're saying. I don't have a lot of apprehension about pitching for the postseason. If it's anything, it's crafty lefties. How are you going to deal with these guys with your hitting approach? Because if there's – now, yes, the bullpen and the relief – has been shaky at times, but I'm talking about starting pitching. I feel as good about that part of this baseball team as anything. Probably, I mean, you look at it, is there anything stronger than the starting pitching as a whole? It's not relief. It's not the bullpen.
No.
Not relief pitching. And right now when you face a good lefty, it's a problem for this Arkansas lineup, even though they hit the righties really well. A good lefty gives them problems. So, I mean, I don't think there's any question. It's the strength of the team right now.
I can't argue with you, but I don't know. It's just, I don't know if it's maybe because I haven't seen enough, but then I start thinking about it. I was like, well, I've had, how many more games do I need?
John? You know, right now their record is 44-17. So
yeah, give me
50 or 61 games. How many more? Do you need?
63. Okay. I think I'll really be able to tell what this team's capable. But when I'm looking at it, I'm going off my gut instinct, my gut feeling from it all. Yeah, I can't argue with that. That the best part of this team is the starting pitching. And it's based, of course, solely on Isaiah Campbell, but also with Patrick Wicklander and Connor Nolan. They've had some great moments, too. Now, how do they perform against Ole Miss? You know, that may change a little bit because Ole Miss is a really good team. They're performing really well, and they blew out all their opponents, essentially, in their regional. So it's going to be a great matchup. But and if you're going to be a championship team, don't you want your best part of your team to be your starting pitching?
Can you be a championship team without great starting pitching? I don't think you can.
It's kind of like being a championship football team without a good quarterback.
Right. I mean, it's just impossible.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great, and I do want your listeners to be aware of one thing, that I don't think there's anything that's made you more Twitter giddy than the beer guzzling challenge last week by the NFL players. One, in my view, by Matthew Stafford, who has an incredible gullet for beer.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
That lineman for the Packers, though.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a tough out.
Yeah,
he was getting it down too, man. But Stafford, I couldn't believe how quickly he put it down. But anyway, that's another matter.
Hey, well, I also got after because apparently Stephen Garcia is amazing too at it, for the former quarterback of South Carolina. So there was everybody having their opinions on that matter, but definitely makes for some great content. But I tell you what, Tom, it was a great weekend if you're a Razorback baseball fan. They get the regional victory, go 3-0. They're moving on. They're going to face Ole Miss this upcoming weekend in the Super Regional. It's hard to say that it was a perfect regional because that's next to impossible to be able to have it perfect. But to me, that was about as good if you could ask of a performance from Arkansas in those three games to win them all and move on into the Supers.
No question about it. You know, they scored a ton of runs in the first game against Central Connecticut, which they needed that type of game just to feel better about themselves and hitting the clutch and all that kind of stuff, and they did that. And then, if you ask me, getting TCU assigned to this regional was kind of any team's nightmare because Janczak had pitched so well in the Big 12 tournament, and they had the type of pitching that could give you a fright. And as it turned out, you know, they saved up Nick Lodolo, and they saved up Janczak to face the Razorbacks, but Arkansas's pitching was up to the task. So I think the Horned Frogs could have given a lot of teams some trouble at their home regionals. It just so happens that Arkansas had the depth of pitching and some clutch hitting to, Matthew Goodhart yesterday with a hit in the middle of the first inning, and then he hits the two-run homer that kind of gives some padding. But I think it bodes well, and, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of hype leading up to this series against Ole Miss.
Yeah. Well, so what's it going to take? Obviously, Ole Miss has been a program that's had Arkansas's number. I think they've won the last two series in Fayetteville. They tripped Arkansas up in the SEC tournament. What's it going to take to be different this weekend, Tom?
Well, a little bit of everything. I mean, if Patrick Wicklander pitches the way he did, you know, Connor Nolan gives them some good innings, I think they'll be in it from a pitching standpoint. But they're going to have to hit the left-hander Doug Nikhazy better. I would assume he'd be their game two starter. It was his performance in the series here before that kind of opened the door for Ole Miss to win game two and three. And when they won that series at Mom Walker this year, it was the first team to win a series against the Razorbacks since they did it 2 years ago in 2017. They have depth up and down their order. They've got veterans who hit. I mean, they scored a million runs yesterday in their regional final. So, formidable opponent. And, you know, Wes, with the buzz, brought up Friday with me. He would pitch Isaiah Campbell in game two throughout, you know, the rest of the way. I don't know if I would do that. I mean, it's an interesting thought because game two is such a big deal. But I think I might switch the guys back and have Isaiah Campbell go in game one just to know that you're going to get a lot of innings and maybe have more of your bullpen ready to go in games two and three.
Yeah, Tom, I don't know if I'd want to mess anything up. If you got something with Isaiah Campbell, you want to make sure you get that game one victory, especially in the upcoming Super Regionals. But it'll be an interesting conversation to see how Dave Van Horn handles the pitching. But going to Isaiah Campbell, though, Tom, you've been watching Razorback baseball. You've been watching Isaiah Campbell a lot since he's come to Arkansas. And that performance he put in on Saturday to me, was his best performance to date. Do you feel like that that was the best you've ever seen out of Isaiah Campbell, at least at this point in time in his career?
It's hard to argue that there was a better game that he's had, because to listen to the TCU guy who was in the post game, it was the catcher Humphreys. He was he had all four pitches going, and you couldn't, because he was throwing them all for strikes, and he had two different off speed pitches working. You couldn't sit, you couldn't rule out any pitch on any count, and he was working in and out and up and down. And when the hitters are guessing, it makes you so much more intimidating. And as Jim Schlossnagel put it, he was in our dome. He was in the domes of our hitters, which was one of my favorite lines of the weekend. They didn't know what to expect. And so, you know, if he's on his game, you can chalk up one win, or at least one time that your team is in it for seven or eight innings with Isaiah Campbell on the hill.
How did you think the SEC as a whole performed this weekend? Georgia got tripped up, but the league had a lot of success as well. What was your evaluation of SEC baseball over the first weekend of postseason play?
You know, I think about what you'd expect. I mean, no one expected Florida to advance. A&M, you know, they had perhaps one of the biggest highlights of the entire weekend with two grand slams yesterday, including a walk-off grand slam, so rare. And then they lose in the final. You know, Mississippi State takes care of business. LSU, who always seems to catch some kind of a break in
every
the
postseason.
So
yeah, every year.
So they play well in Hoover. They earn themselves a home regional, and they win it. Now they got Florida State coming in. So they're playing for Mike Martin. And as you guys know, it's the LSU-Florida State regional that's paired up with Arkansas and Ole Miss for the first round in Omaha. So we'll see how that turns out. But LSU always just seems to find a way in the postseason. And then, of course, the Razorbacks, who are basically one of the mainstays. I mean, people are looking at them to represent, and it will be an SEC team, obviously, out of this regional. Of course, Vanderbilt is going to be a tough out for anybody. I mean, UCLA, they lost the game. I guess they're playing again today for the final. But I would say UCLA and Vandy are probably the two teams that might be the biggest favorites. I think Arkansas is actually tied for the third favorite, or were tied for the third favorite heading into the regional weekend.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. All right, Tom, looking towards Ole Miss. And obviously, this, you mentioned the fact that Ole Miss had beaten Arkansas in Baum Stadium in two of the past series that they've had in Baum Stadium. What's the thing that's going to have to change the fortune of Arkansas? Because obviously Ole Miss is at Arkansas's number. What's going to need to happen? What's going to need to be adjusted this weekend if Arkansas is going to expect to make it to Omaha? Because I'm sure Razorback fans do not want to see the Rebels dogpiling on the pitcher's mound in their own stadium this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, they just have so many veteran hitters and some boppers. I mean, their first baseman, Cole something, he's a really good hitter. Dillard at the top of the lineup, not the prototypical leadoff guy. In fact, he's reminiscent to me of Trevor Ezell, you know, kind of a fireplug guy who hits leadoff for him. I mean, Gray Kessinger at shortstop is one of the best in the game. They've got depth. I think it's Cole Zabowski is their first baseman, but they've got depth throughout the order, and it's kind of like the Central Connecticut guy talking yesterday about facing TCU. Every pitch, every battery faced, every pitch was a challenge, and I think that's what you have against Ole Miss. The Razorback pitchers are going to have to be sharp. You know, I thought Patrick Wicklander yesterday, his breaking ball was really on, but the home plate umpire, Linus something, Baker, I think, was giving the breaking pitch just off the edges and with a little bit of a wider strike zone, and that is huge. When Wicklander has a tighter strike zone, he's got to make more fine pitches. It doesn't go as well for him. So I think their pitching staff after Campbell is going to have to be spot on with their location to have a chance against these Ole Miss players, and they've got to score runs. I mean, you've got to have Casey Martin's bat. If you're going to make the College World Series, he's got to break out of this slump, and you've got to have more clutch hitting up and down the order.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Tom. Great stuff, man, and looking forward to catching up with you on Thursday, my man.
Outstanding. Sounds great. See y'all.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
One thing that I wanted to bring up today and last night after, of course, the victory and of the not only just the game but the regional itself, Dave Van Horn was talking about his team and the mentality that they had. And one of the things that he specifically brought up was the team celebration after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Did you watch the way our players acted when we won the game? Just like another game. And because they know that they accomplished something, but they hadn't accomplished what we're really trying to do. So, you know, I didn't say anything to him after the game, but we all noticed it, and that's what we want. We didn't have to talk about it before the series and or before the regional and say, hey, when we win the regional, I don't want you guys celebrating. I never said that to those guys. They're happy that we won it, and they're happy they get a day off tomorrow. And they get a chance to play again for at least one more week together. And if it goes well, they get another week or so.
So yeah. I thought that was a really interesting comment from Dave Van Horn, because it's one thing that when we saw the ending of the game, or if you saw the ending of the game and you saw the players out there, you know, they're high-fiving. It's just like they won a game. But like Dave Van Horn said, they're treating it just like another win.
Yep.
Like it was a win during the midweek, during the regular season. And that's the culture and that's the mentality that he's instilled in them. And the fact that he didn't it's not something that him or the coaching staff had to say, like, hey, guys, if we win this game, don't celebrate. Don't go crazy out there. That's just what they have done, and that's what they're doing. And that's a great mentality to have, because this team knows what they're capable of, and they know that this is great, this is fine, but it's not the ultimate goal.
If Arkansas is successful this weekend, it'll be interesting to see how they would celebrate, because I'm okay with a next level celebration, a dog pile or what, when you're going to the College World Series. That
yes,
is
of
worth
course.
Celebrating.
It's like cutting down the nets in Final Four.
Right. There are some teams and some programs, though, that, and I think Arkansas is getting to the point, even though they haven't won a national title, that even winning a super regional is really not, you know, obviously it's not the ultimate celebration, but I still think getting to the College World Series, I think we're starting to get a little spoiled here as a fan base about, just getting to the College World Series is not enough. Now you got to go all the way to the National Championship Series for it to really be special. I get that part, but there's still, don't take for granted just getting to the College World Series. I hope these players enjoy the moment, because there's no guarantees you're going to get back there again, you know?
Yeah. Well, you want to enjoy the moment.
And exactly. I think sometimes you know, it's so focused on the ultimate prize, which we all agree is winning the national championship, but getting to a College World Series is still something well worth celebrating.
No.
So hopefully they get that opportunity this weekend is my point.
Well, and
don't feel like you can't, because
correct.
There's still baseball to play and there's still, you know, we remain focused.
Yeah,
and
don't get mad
about
that's
it. That's not the ultimate prize. You know, I think it'd be good for these guys to show a little emotion if they could get a kind of what would be a relieving series win over Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like, it's not just the players. But think about it from the fan perspective. Think of all of you that watched this series and watched this team and watched these games over the weekend. When Arkansas won last night, if you were able to stay up and watch it, but when they won last night and they were moving on to the Super Regional, what was your level of excitement about? I'm sure it was a little high. I'm sure you had some excitement to it. But you also know that it's like, all right, cool. So did what we were supposed to do. Moving on.
But it wasn't a game where you needed a walk-off hit in the ninth inning, or you didn't need late-game heroics. I mean, it was, I won't say ho-hum, but you had a 6-0 win. I mean, there wasn't really anything that put you on the edge of your seat down the stretch of this game last night. So, but the fans got what they expected, to be in a super regional.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that they're not excited, though.
It's a Sweet 16, if you will, because there's only 16 teams left, to put it in a basketball term. It's the Sweet 16 of college baseball.
Right. And it's, again, it's not a bad thing that you have that feeling when you go to the Super Regional. It's not a bad thing, because that's just where your program's at. Yeah. That's how great it is right now. But I don't think that anyone was just getting upset if anyone was celebrating or anything like that, or that you were having some sort of animosity about it. It's just a matter of, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. You know what they're capable of. You expected this, so keep doing it. You're doing your job. Good job, you're doing your job.
Is this the golden age of Arkansas baseball?
I don't know how it couldn't be right now. Of course, they still got work to do. If they get back to Omaha, then 100% it is the golden age.
I mean, back-to-back College World Series appearances. You've hosted three straight regionals. You're back in another super regional. I mean, you've got everything you want except that elusive national championship.
Yep.
You know, we were making the point over the weekend on one of our pregame shows to enjoy the moment, because every Arkansas program, when you study the history and you've lived through some of it, has had an era of where it rose above the rest of the history of the program. We saw it in football, which really in football, you'd say it's the mid-60s. Leading up to the 64 National Championship, 65 was another great year. Really into what, the mid to late 70s was probably the golden age of Arkansas football. 69 shootout, even though you came up short, you were relevant. You were top five, top 10 in the country for an extended period of time. And you had two Hall of Fame coaches there to guide the program, Frank Broyles, Lou Holtz. You look at basketball, late 70s to... really at about a 15-year run from the late 70s to the mid-90s. It was probably the golden age. You could zero in on the early to mid-90s. Two Hall of Fame coaches. And you look at what's going on now, you've got a Hall of Fame coach. And this is a program that's only had two coaches
pretty much in its existence.
Since 1970, yeah. When Norm DeBrien took over the program, you had two coaches since 1970. It's going on 50 years. Two men at the helm. I mean, both Hall of Fame guys, you know. I mean, I'm just saying that this is the golden age, and sometimes we don't appreciate it enough in the moment. Then you look back on it, and you always yearn for those days.
Mm-hmm. But like I also said too, Tommy, like when we talked about it during that pregame show, those eras that you mentioned included a national championship.
Yep. And I think it's coming. I think if Dave Van Horn keeps knocking on the door, he's going to get in. He's too good a coach. He recruits too good of talent. I mean, for crying out loud, we don't need to relive what happened last year, but we know how close it was a year ago. He's a national championship caliber coach without a national title. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
This is a national championship caliber program in search of its first national title.
Yeah. And here's another thing too, folks. If Arkansas makes it back to the College World Series, and say if they even made it back to the College World Series finals, it's no longer a Cinderella-type story. It's no longer an underdog-type story. No.
Arkansas's a favorite.
Yeah, it becomes where you are the expectation of getting there. You are the team that, if you're there, it's like, oh, well, you know, that's Arkansas for you. That's that baseball program. That's Dave Van Horn.
Listen, I'm all about Loyola Marymount beating UCLA. I was all about Georgia getting beat out. I want the best teams other than Arkansas eliminated.
Get the easiest path you can take.
Exactly. No more of this let's beat them all stuff. I want to beat the best.
Nope. I mean, I was rooting for Jacksonville State like crazy over Ole Miss.
Absolutely.
You know, you want that pathway. And if Arkansas wins against Ole Miss, Tommy, I can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm probably going to be rooting for Florida State over LSU. So that way Arkansas, if they won the Super Regional, they would be facing Florida State in the first game instead of LSU. That's just my thought and opinion behind it. Because you do want the easiest path you can take, and it feels like that if you can avoid any SEC team as much as possible, you can make that work, especially the high-caliber ones as well. We'll find out if UCLA actually advances. But that's where you're at right now as a program. And you have to enjoy it, and you have to embrace it. But it also comes along with you understanding the expectation and the culture that's been built into this program, where these players understand the expectation.
I'm just saying that 2010, 2011, we thought that was going to last forever in Razorback football. And we didn't appreciate what was happening. The mid-90s in basketball, you thought that was going to last forever. You're going to go to the Final Four every year. Well, it didn't. Didn't happen. Coach left, program changed. Football, 2010, 2011. When 21 and 2 years, coach left, program changed. I'm just saying these things won't last forever, and we probably didn't appreciate what we were living in those moments nearly enough. And sometimes you just got to appreciate the greatness of what we're getting to witness unfold here.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
But you're right. The one thing missing is still the elusive national championship.
Yep. And many times when it comes to your appreciation, you never appreciate it until it's gone. But hopefully for Arkansas, it stays around for a long time. and you don't have to worry about it.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.